Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas & Go at the Y, and Gas & Go at Mill Bay.
It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it's your public radio station. Broadcasting from beautiful downtown Kodiak, where it is currently 41 degrees under fair skies. They have a 3 mile per hour wind from the south at the airport. Mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day, high near 46. For tonight, a 50% chance of rain after 10 p.m., increasing clouds overnight with a low of about 40. Calm winds will turn to the south and go to 5 miles per hour after midnight. And a 40% chance of rain through Tuesday night, and Wednesday. Wednesday, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, and Thursday, mostly sunny skies. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak Salvage Yard is sealed off due to a suspicious package. The legislature is scheduled to meet today, but they can't even decide on whether they should or not. No story.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. President Biden, visibly frustrated today that Republicans are blocking efforts to suspend the debt ceiling, tells the GOP, quote, "Get out of the way."
The reason we have to raise the debt limit is in part because of the reckless tax and spending policies under the previous Trump administration. In 4 years, they incurred nearly $8 trillion. In 4 years, $8 trillion in additional debt in bills we have to now pay off.
But Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is using the debt ceiling imperative as leverage to scuttle Biden's multi-trillion-dollar domestic spending agenda. He's pushing Democrats into a budget process that could stretch for weeks. That's right up against the October 18th mark, when Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen projects the U.S. will run out of cash reserves. If the U.S. were to default on its debt, she says, the consequences for the economy would be catastrophic. Facebook and its Instagram and WhatsApp platforms are experiencing disruptions around the globe. The company is not saying what caused the outages, which began before noon Eastern time. Meanwhile, a whistleblower alleges the company put profits over safety. NPR's Bobby Allen reports the former data scientist at the company revealed her identity in a new televised interview.
Frances Haugen said on CBS's 60 Minutes that she had a moral duty to act when she realized Facebook's public statements about issues including hate speech and the Capitol riots did not match its own internal research. She says that's why she obtained confidential company documents and shared them with federal law enforcement and the media. Her lawyer, John Tai, says he knew it was a big case when he first got the call.
I told my team that the next day. I said, the world has been waiting for a real Facebook whistleblower, and I think we have her.
Facebook, which is among NPR's financial supporters, says it values the safety of its users and that not all company research shows that the platform is harmful. Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Taiwan is condemning China over recent air incursions described as a coercion campaign. NPR's Emily Fang with details.
China claims the Democratic Island of Taiwan as part of its territory and has sworn to retake Taiwan through military force if needed. This past weekend marked the start of a days-long celebration in China of the anniversary of the Communist Party governing the country. And over the weekend, China flew nearly 40 fighter jets into airspace monitored by Taiwan's defense forces, a provocation Taiwan considers a military threat. Then China sent more than 50 jets in a second wave. Taiwan's defense ministry said it scrambled fighter jets of its own to monitor China's. Emily Fang, NPR News, Beijing.
Captain Kirk will boldly go where very few on this planet have gone before. Jeff Bezos' space travel company confirms today William Shatner, the 90-year-old actor behind the legendary Star Trek character, will be aboard the Blue Origin capsule when it launches from West Texas on October 12th. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News es presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Authorities sealed off the area around a Kodiak salvage yard Friday afternoon. Military and law enforcement personnel investigated what they described as a suspicious device in a scrapyard dumpster in Bell's Flats. Coast Guard Petty Officer Lexi Preston says the Coast Guard Investigative Service and Alaska State Troopers had responded to Nick's auto wrecking and salvage.
The Coast Guard Investigative Services is investigating a suspicious device that was discovered in a recycling dumpster from Base Kodiak. The device has been secured and the scene has been made safe.
Around 2 p.m., an ambulance and fire engine had been stationed along Sergeant Creek Road. A fire command vehicle and Alaska State Trooper truck prevented anyone from entering the salvage yard. Alaska State Trooper's spokesperson Tim Despain didn't say what was found, but he says a device had been found during the sorting phase of recycling.
Out of abundance of caution, they've set up a perimeter, and there is the FBI bomb squad from Anchorage is responding.
The Coast Guard Investigative Service is asking for anyone with information on this device to make a report anonymously through the CGIS TIP app or by calling Special Agent Woods at 907-229-8303. The Alaska Legislature is scheduled to meet for the first day of its fourth special session today, but state leaders are divided over whether the session should even happen. Alaska House Speaker Louise Stutes said Friday that Governor Mike Dunleavy should cancel the session, citing COVID-19 concerns.
I think that we should be doing everything possible to help prevent the spread of COVID and gathering all the legislators and their staff. So you're talking, 150, 200 people together in the Capitol. Needlessly, just doesn't make sense.
In response to a question about Stutes' position, a Dunleavy spokesperson said the governor is not canceling the special session. Stutes pointed out in a letter to Dunleavy that Alaska is leading the nation and is among the leaders worldwide in the spread of the virus recently. She wrote that there isn't a consensus on the items that the governor has made the focus of the session, which include enshrining the permanent fund dividend in the state constitution, lowering the limit on state spending, and raising taxes or other revenue. Stutes said a special session is not necessary for the legislature to continue its work on a long-term plan for the state budget. She said committees can continue to meet ahead of the regular session in January, and that the legislature could call itself into special session if it reaches agreement on the issues. Stutes also said a fourth special session would be incredibly costly. Representative Kathy Tilton says she was disappointed with Stutes' request to cancel the special session.
My immediate reaction was that it was yet another disappointment to think that we do not want to move forward in coming up with a comprehensive fiscal plan for the state of Alaska.
Tilton says the COVID-19 surge isn't a reason to cancel the session, saying that she believes in, quote, personal responsibility, close quote, regarding the pandemic. Nearly 500 emergency health workers have been arriving in Alaska this week as the state struggles with a surge of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations. They include state-contracted nurses and doctors, plus a special federal disaster response team, which recently started work at the Alaska Native Medical Center in Anchorage. As Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan reports, the help arrived at a crucial time.
35 medical workers are stuck under the fluorescent lights of a conference room for orientation at the Alaska Native Medical Center. It's where they'll work for the next 2 weeks. Most are wearing khakis and t-shirts with bright bold letters DMAT. That stands for Disaster Medical Assistance Team. The team was called up just 2 days earlier, says team leader Gina Smith.
We landed last night. We started right away. As you could see in the other room, we're getting an orientation.
They're getting ready for shifts, working as physicians in the packed ICU, pharmacists, or even logistics managers. As part of the group, Smith has been to disasters from 9/11 to Hurricane Katrina. Since COVID hit, the team has been on the front lines of the pandemic.
We were in California when the cruise ships came in, helping with some triage and some quarantine of individuals, as well as some medical care for those that needed it when they came off the cruise ships.
Now, Alaska is on the front lines of the COVID crisis with five times the national average case rate. On Friday, ANMC announced it was operating under crisis standards of care, and doctors and nurses say they've been stretched thin for weeks. Smith doesn't like to be dramatic about what her team faces.
I don't necessarily consider it a disaster. I think it's a huge concern, as it is across the rest of the country. But we also see ourselves coming in when there's a need or a public health emergency. And this is a public health emergency.
The team is made up of seasoned health workers who are taking time off their normal day jobs to work in Alaska. And they're not the only ones arriving. About 40 nurses and 10 nursing assistants started working at the hospital at the end of September as part of a state contract. And there are a handful of incoming full-time staff nurses who are getting acquainted with ANMC's IV machines at a nearby conference room.
So you hit that, and down here on these screens, you'll see all these options you can choose. So
ANMC Administrator Bob Onder says the influx of new staff may be enough to give some tired workers a break, but it won't solve the problem since hospitalizations are expected to keep rising.
We have, you know, 600 to 700 nurses here, so 40 nurses is a help, but it's as a proportional response, it still is challenging.
The new workers bring in loads of experience from traveling to states dealing with some of the most difficult times of the pandemic, and they also bring in some new energy. Certified nursing assistant Tracy Williams has been to half a dozen states over the past year and a half. She's from Georgia, but she's unfazed by Alaska.
I have seen the moose in Maine, so that ain't no big rah-rah-rah for me either.
Aside from nursing, she's studying to be a physical therapist, and she's the mother of four. It's hard work, and she's seen some dark things in the ICU, but she says it's worth it.
I was in Georgia for 3 days, well, 4 days, and I was here by Saturday, Sunday. That's exhausting, you know, but it's the motivation for what you love to do that give you that push to say, come on, girl, you can sleep on the plane.
She's hoping to give a boost to her new colleagues here at ANMC and to help Alaska get through its darkest days of the pandemic. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Lex Trinan.
A swath of the interior is digging out from an early season snowstorm. According to the National Weather Service, Fairbanks set daily snowfall records Friday and Saturday with 3 inches and 2.8 inches of accumulation, respectively. Weather Service meteorologist Scott Berg says the agency measured a total of 6.7 inches of snow Thursday through Sunday, noting the snow was challenging to track.
Being wet and heavy as it is, the numbers are a little skewed because the snow compacts so well.
Berg says the storm dropped significantly more snow at other locations, including areas south and east of Fairbanks.
Out in North Pole, some areas got over 12 inches of snow since Thursday.
Berg says the heavy snow was a result of a low-pressure system in the Gulf of Alaska.
Spinning up just an abundance of moisture into the area, and we had the overrunning over the cold air that was already in the interior.
Berg says a break in the precipitation is expected today and Tuesday with a weak high pressure over the area.
And then there is the remnants of a typhoon that's moving across the Bering Sea that will be sending a weather front to the west coast and then into the interior on Wednesday and Thursday.
He says that system could bring more snow to the region. Short staffing is challenging City of Fairbanks public safety operations. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, city, police, fire, dispatch leaders all are reporting struggling to cover shifts and calls, resulting in excessive overtime, burnout, high turnover, and younger, less experienced staff.
Numerous Fairbanks Police Department officers testified at a recent city council meeting about the short staffing situation, saying it can threaten public safety.
I want you to imagine calling 911, saying someone's breaking into your house, and to dispatch to tell you we have no one available.
Officer Andrew Wixon told the council that FPD is currently relying on overtime and is still only able to staff two officers on most shifts. He says it's a stressful situation with little time off, and it's causing officers to leave FPD for policing jobs elsewhere with better work hours, pay, and benefits.
For the first time in my life, I've had a talk with my family about other places to be a cop, because this kid who has grew up in this great city, who wanted to raise his family in this city, is running out of steam and not feeling valued as an employee or an officer.
Departures have also left the city's dispatch operations severely understaffed. At the fire department, EMS providers are struggling to keep up with an ever-increasing number of ambulance calls.
We're increasing calls around an average of 400 to 600 calls additional each year.
Nick Clark is president of the Fairbanks Firefighters Union.
We're definitely, you know, stretched thin. You know, you can see it in the members' eyes.
Overtime sounds good on paper. It's like, wow, extra money. Until you're constantly working more.
City Fire Chief Todd Chambers says he currently has people working 8 days straight around the clock to cover for fellow staff out for medical and other reasons.
It's a terrible, terrible balance and a terrible choice to do. Do I burn my people up and take a risk of, you know, pushing them beyond their capacity, or do I stop giving the service to the citizens that they're paying for?
Chambers points to new Medicaid ambulance transport reimbursement funds, which are coming to the city, money the council could use to bolster fire department staffing. As far as funding to help retain police officers and dispatchers,
we do have some wiggle room.
Mayor Jim Matherly is pushing a new approach that could boost pay for staff-short city departments.
Take money and put it to human capital.
Matherly has proposed what's being called the Employee Capital Incentive Program, in which money budgeted for salaries that goes unused in a given department due to unfilled positions would be paid out to employees. City Chief of Staff Mike Meeks explained it at a recent council work session.
Those that have the least amount of employees, i.e. the most salary savings, would get the most money. Trying to offset that quality of life impact that we've had on the employees.
Another proposal aimed at attracting and retaining employees would provide additional leave. Here's City Council member Valerie Therrien.
Give them maternity leave and bereavement leave, and that's something which is another way of trying to tell our employees that we really want you to stay and this is a bonus that you're getting.
Therrien underscores that the city is trying to address the critical staffing situation in a very tight budget year and may have to dip into savings to do so. Mayor Matherly will provide the council his 2022 budget proposal later in the month. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Lisa Murkowski took to the floor of the U.S. Senate on Friday to call on Alaskans to be kinder to healthcare workers and to each other.
We can have disagreements. We can have differing points of view. We can express them without degrading one another, without denigrating one another, without humiliating and mocking one another.
Alaska's senior senator, a moderate Republican, cites Alaska's worst-in-the-nation COVID case rate and its maxed-out hospitals. Murkowski says exhausted hospital workers deserve appreciation, but have been mocked, threatened, and even spat upon when they called for public health measures.
And they will literally turn the other cheek and make sure that the care that they are providing in that ICU, in that ER, is without discrimination as to whether or not you've been vaccinated or not. They're going to be there to take care of you. So please, can we please show some kindness to one another at these times of stress?
Murkowski said it was shocking that people at a public meeting in Anchorage this week wore yellow Stars of David to protest a proposed mask mandate, likening it to the Holocaust. Her plea for civility may serve to widen the gulf between Murkowski and Alaska conservatives. Many in the right wing of her party have downplayed the hospital crisis, accused healthcare workers of exaggerating, and cast doubt on mask use and vaccines. Murkowski says she saw the crisis firsthand in Fairbanks a couple of weekends ago when she went to the emergency room with a loved one. She did not name him, but said he had a non-COVID emergency. Because intensive care units around the state are full, she said she had to prepare for the possibility he'd be medevaced to Seattle or Portland.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. There's little interest in Alaska sea urchins. More after this.
This radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, online at alaskaboat.com.
Uni, or roe from sea urchins, is a popular delicacy with many sushi lovers. Alaska has urchin fisheries in Southeast and Kodiak, but they attract little interest from divers. A harvest of just under 3 million pounds of red urchins is allowed at Southeast, but that number's based on older surveys of the stocks.
That's a little bit of a ghost guideline harvest level because there aren't that many sea urchins still here.
Phil Doherty is co-director of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association. Since the 1980s and 90s, the bulk of the sea urchin beds have been wiped out by sea otters.
That's the number one factor in the lack of production in Southeast Alaska, and there's nothing that's going to happen here in the foreseeable future that's going to change that.
A second reason, Doherty says, is difficulty getting the delicate uni from the softball-sized urchins to Japanese markets in top condition.
It's very difficult to crack open the urchins and get the roe out and pack it and put it in special containers and get it onto the airlines and get it over to the Japanese market.
Green urchins that are found around Kodiak are preferred over the reds, but a lack of markets also has stalled fishing interest there. There's been no urchin harvest since 2001.
It's not that harvest stopped because we had concerns about the stock. The major barriers for even a small-scale fishery are just finding a market.
Nat Nichols is area manager for Fish and Game at Kodiak. Now the harvest limit is 40,000 pounds. Again, no divers have signed up for the fishery. Nichols says urchin uni is more familiar to U.S. buyers now than in the past, and perhaps there might be interest from more local markets.
That would certainly alleviate the issues with trying to get bigger loads of product, you know, to Asia in good condition.
Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the fourth day of October, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 8:21. It will set again at 7:33. That will give us 11 hours and 12 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 56 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this date was 27, set in 1974, and our record high was 61, set in 1967. Currently, 45 degrees, fair skies, calm winds. For tonight, 50% chance of rain after 10 p.m., increasing clouds overnight with a low around 40. Calm winds will turn to the south to 5 after midnight. Tuesday through Wednesday, we have a 40% chance of rain and highs near 52, lows around 44. Mostly sunny skies for Thursday. Looking at our local tides, we have an incoming tide. Our next high tide on the east side will be at 1:36 p.m. and be 8.1 feet, followed by a low tide at 7:27 p.m. of 1.2 feet. Our next high tide will be at 1:34 a.m. and be 8.9 feet, and our morning low tide for the east side will be at 7:48 a.m. and be minus 1/10 of a foot. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 2:06 p.m. in Larsen Bay. That will be a 14-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:12 p.m. of 1 foot. Your next high tide will be at 2:10 a.m. of 14.5-foot tide, followed by a low tide tomorrow morning in Larsen Bay at 8:27 a.m. of -0.8 feet. Looking at our marine weather, for the Shelikof Strait, southwest wind to 15 knots today and seas to 3 feet. For tomorrow, south wind to 15 knots, seas to 4 feet. And for Tuesday night, south 25, seas to 6 feet. Wednesday, southwest 25, seas to 5 feet in the Shelikof. For Marmot Island to Sitka, Kodiak's east side offshore, west wind to 15 knots today and seas to 4 feet. For tonight, southwest 20, seas to 4 feet. And for tomorrow, south winds to 20 knots, seas to 4 feet. For Wednesday, look for southwest 25, seas to 6 feet. Thursday, southwest 25, seas coming up to 10 feet. And for Friday, on our east side, southwest 35, seas to 19 feet on Friday. Well, it's happened. The library is our center of civilization, just like in the apocalypse movies. Get ready, get set, bake. Check out the library's display of cookbooks and videos to get you thinking about fall baking fun. Families with young children can enjoy reading If You Give a Mouse a Cookie outside the library on the Story Stroll this month. Then come inside the library and pick up a free craft kit that includes a cookie cutter and recipe plus several extension activities. The Story Stroll means walking around outside the library while reading pages of If You Give a Mouse a Cookie that are posted on the library's windows. All ages are welcome to get ready, get set, bake. On Friday, October 8th from 2 to 4 p.m., the Kodiak Public Library will host a garden party. That's Friday, October 8th, 2 to 4 p.m., so this next Friday. Come and help plant bulbs and prepare the library garden for the winter. And it's time to hunker down and read for the winter, too. Kodiak Public Library just launched Kodiak Reads, a community book club. Its fall selection is Find the Good with Heather Lindy, Alaska's writer laureate. Copies are available at the front desk of the library, and Zoom meetings with the author are going to be held October 11th at 6:30 p.m. Stop in and pick up your copy of Find the Good. Also, live homework help. It's free to all Alaskans. Get online tutoring for subjects like math, English, and history. Work with a live tutor, or you can use the resources to study independently, all at no charge to you. Live homework help also provides all Alaskans free help finding and applying online for a job. You can find the homework help link on the online resources page on the Kodiak Public Library's website. And don't forget, curbside service and home delivery are available for library patrons. Place holds on materials from your device, then you can just pick them up curbside anytime between 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The library is open from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m., Monday through Thursday, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Masks are required for entry at the library until further notice. If you'd like to call the library, their number is 486-8686. Do you have a kiddo between the ages of 5 and 18 who enjoys hands-on projects? Kodiak 4-H may be a good fit for them. This year, the Kodiak 4-H is offering in-person and virtual programs, as well as 4-H at-home project kits. Enrollment starts October 1st, so it's enrolling right now. It's only $26 for the whole year. For more information, email Kodiak4H, that's with a number, Kodiak numeral 4H, at gmail.com, or call them up at 907-486-1503. You can find them on their Facebook page, too, at Kodiak4H, or on the web at alaska4h.org/Kodiak. The city of Kodiak did replace absentee voting in person with early voting by ordinance. That means you can vote today. Early voting is similar to going to vote at your polling precinct on election day. When you go in to vote today, your eligibility is verified and you're given a ballot to feed into the voting machine. Early voting ballots are counted and included in the unofficial tally tomorrow night on election night. And so they encourage everyone to take advantage of the option to vote today or tomorrow. The assembly chambers is where you want to early vote, and it's open for early voting from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. today. If you have any questions, call the city clerk at 486-8636. Extension classes are coming for the winter food preservation workshops for fall 2021. They're taught by UAF Cooperative Extension Agent Sarah Lewis from her home kitchen in Juneau. If you think you'd like to participate, they go on starting October 5th, so starting tomorrow. You can register for one or all the classes, which cost $10 each. If you'd like to contact her, her phone number is 907-523-3280, or look for her, Sarah Lewis, at Southeast Alaska Extension. Kodiak Public Health invites community members to Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine clinics October 6th, 7th, and 8th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Kodiak High School Auditorium at 722 Mill Bay Road. Everyone aged 12 and up is eligible to receive the first or second dose of the Pfizer vaccine. Booster doses are approved for people who are immune compromised, at high risk for severe COVID, or anyone 65 and up. A message from the Department of Health and Social Services.